This is February 26, 1992, at the Orioles Museum. Shirley Bradley, Lisa Fine, we're interviewing Mr. and Mrs. Harold Janetsky on Real Memories.
Okay, usually we just start by asking, you know, when you worked at the Rio and you know, the years that you started and what you did when you were there and how long you were there. So, Mr. Janetsky, if you want to start.
I started in December 1936.
Okay.
That was 3 months after they discontinued the production of passenger cars.
3 months after?
3 months
yeah.
After.
Okay. And what did you do when you started there?
I was started as a mail boy.
Oh, mail boy. How old were you when you started?
I was 20.
20 years old. And were you out of high school at that point?
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay.
I had one term at Michigan State.
Oh, okay. And you started out as a mail boy, and obviously you didn't stay a mail boy there the whole time you were there.
Well, after a few months, they transferred me to the timekeeping department.
Timekeeping department. And how long were you there for?
I was there on and off. We were laid off
uh-huh.
quite a bit of the time from 1936 to 1940. But in that time, I went back to the mailboy job.
So when those times were slow, you went down?
The next year, mm-hmm. for about a month, and then back to timekeeping again.
Mm-hmm. Now timekeeping, that means you were in charge of those, when people punched in?
Taking care of the clock cards.
The clock cards.
Mm-hmm.
And calculating what people were owed for their hours.
Right.
And at that point, were people on hourly wages?
They were.
Already? Yeah, they had switched over.
I did timekeeping mostly in the maintenance department, and those men were all hourly employees.
Mm-hmm. So you were mostly in supervisory, that was kind of a management supervisory?
Well, it was a salary position.
Salary position, yeah. Okay. So you weren't part of the union when it came through in 37. You didn't have anything to do with that.
Yes, in 37, became a member.
You did?
Uh-huh.
As a timekeeper at
oh,
the time?
No, I didn't either.
No, not
either. So the big strike was in 37,
later.
Right?
Yeah.
But you joined the union later?
When you were in jail?
Very much later. Because,
okay.
I was off work the whole year of 39.
Uh-huh.
And in January of 40, they called me back to be representative between the accounting department and the machinery sales group that were selling the surplus machinery to repay the Reconstruction Finance Corporation.
Oh, sure.
The $2.5 million that they had borrowed for
getting geared up.
Getting back in gear again.
Right, for the war, which we were going to be entering soon.
Mm-hmm. A year later, I transferred into the engineering department as a detail draftsman.
Oh, okay. Did you get the skills that you needed for that when you were at MSU? Did
well,
they teach
I
you the drafting?
In high school.
Oh, in high school, too.
Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking mechanical engineering at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. That's hard. Engineering's hard stuff.
I learned quite a bit in that first term.
Yeah. Did you do any of the apprenticeship work
no,
over
I
through
didn't.
Rio?
Okay. No. In January of 39, I went back to Michigan State.
Oh.
And got some more
training.
Studies under my belt.
Mm-hmm.
More drafting classes, engineering classes?
Yeah. Engineering classes. And then, as I said, in 1940, they called me back to work. And it was my job to check the prices that they were selling that against the assess the estimated prices that were all set down in the book.
Mm-hmm. Settling out the cars and the trucks, you're saying?
No, this
the machinery.
So they had a lot of machinery that they didn't need anymore. It was used for passenger car manufacturing.
Oh, because they had given it up. Yeah, I see.
And they sold those to different factories
around the United States?
They
sold them to machinery dealers, and a lot of them went overseas.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting.
I wonder if any of it went to Japan and
Germany.
Yeah, right.
Got some good stuff.
Yes.
Quite a bit of it.
Quite a bit of it did.
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And they probably used it for their war effort.
Shot it back, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. We haven't changed much, have we?
No. Well, that's interesting.
While you were laid off that year of 39, you were laid off because things weren't selling? The real products weren't selling?
The plant was mostly down.
Was it?
Yeah, they had just finished, I believe, a big order of buses in December of 38, coaches for the city of Lansing.
Oh,
They did do the bus contract.
Of course, they hadn't made cars since 36, so they'd been making buses and trucks, were they?
Oh, yes.
37, 8, 9.
They went into buses and trucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if any of those old real buses are still on the road.
I wouldn't know.
You've seen some of the real trucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We've heard that there's some of them still around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said you joined the union a little bit later. You were sort of working up to that.
I can't remember it.
Yeah, we've heard that from other people too, that they had an office workers union there, which
yes.
I was very surprised about. That's pretty rare.
UAW.
It was a UAW union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Office and technical workers.
And so you joined that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I imagine pretty much everybody did, didn't they?
Well, they did, yeah.
It was to their benefit? Were things better?
Except for the employees that were on what they called a confidential salary list, a supervisory.
Mm-hmm. What was that, a confidential salary list?
You didn't know. You knew what you were getting in salary, but you didn't know what anybody else was getting. So there might be two people there that are doing the same work, one of them getting $100 a month and another one getting $200 or $300.
Yeah,
you know?
Special
well,
deal.
Yeah.
Was that because they had more skills or?
Not necessarily.
I'm thinking somebody in times and future times will be listening to this and wondering.
The wheel that squeaks the loudest gets the grease.
Okay. Or maybe if they were friends of the person who made the decision, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And so those people that were confidential salary did not join the union?
No.
Because it wouldn't be to their advantage?
Because they were considered supervisory.
Okay.
I see.
All right.
Supervisor employees were not part of the union.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationship between the people was still good.
Mm-hmm.
That's
regardless.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting? You'd think
that.
Because obviously those of you that weren't confidential salaried knew the other person was making more, but still there was a good feeling. No one held it against him. I think that's so interesting.
During the 37 strike, you just stayed away or did you go to work?
At that time I was keeping time in the maintenance department.
Mm-hmm. But of course there was nobody working that month.
No,
it was on lockout.
The next day I stayed home.
You stayed home. You had a little holiday.
I stayed there until the strike was over.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back.
And you went back.
Same job after the strike was over.
Mm-hmm. So you just stayed away and let it blow.
Well
clear. You didn't have much choice.
I wasn't allowed to.
Right. That's right. Okay.
So
So you didn't have any contact with what was going on at the plant or anything during that time?
Well, I knew what was going on word of mouth. I didn't participate in it or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you hear about that were going on?
People actually were living right in the plant. It was a sit-down. They had mattresses in there. Lived there.
Right. And no, they weren't afraid that there would be any troops called in, because of course in Flint there was lots of violence when the workers sat at the Buick plant. But they weren't afraid of that kind of thing happening at the Rio?
No.
How did they receive food? So, did somebody bring in food?
People would bring it to them.
They were allowed to come in with it?
Family members would bring it.
Mm-hmm. Family members were allowed to bring in food?
Well, they would
pass it through the windows.
Okay. How long a period, off the top of my head, I've forgotten, how long a period did that strike?
I can't remember how many months that strike.
It was a month. It was 1 month.
Okay.
It was the month of March.
Yeah, it's a long time to stay inside a new factory, isn't
it? Was your father working there then?
No. My dad worked there from 1906 till 1930.
Okay. 1906 to 1930.
Oh,
what was his name?
Adolf. You called him Shorty.
I don't think they called too many people Adolf after 1940. It wasn't a very popular name after that.
1906.
His sister worked there too.
Oh, is that right? Your sister did too?
Yes, my sister worked there in about 1921 to,
I think, 1936. Okay. Hmm. She, was she married at that time?
No, she wasn't married.
Single lady.
She
what was her name? What was your sister's name?
Matilda. Tilly.
Tilly. Okay. So did your dad...
My dad was a production worker.
He was a production
worker? Worked on the line.
Right, almost from the very beginning. Because it's
because
it started in 1904, so he was there almost right from the beginning.
A couple of years after it started.
He must have worked on the Rio runabouts.
Oh, yes.
Was he born here in Lansing, your dad?
No, he was born in a German community in Poland.
A German community in Poland.
And he immigrated in the late 80s.
Did he come straight here to Lansing?
I'm not sure whether he did or not. He never.
He probably came through
folks
the East
never,
Coast, but
talked too much about.
Didn't he live in Northville for a while?
They lived in Northville.
Uh-huh.
Because my dad's sister had been there before him.
Mm-hmm. Did he come to Lansing to work at the Rio?
No, I think his first job was to control the beer wagon.
That seems kind of in keeping, doesn't it, with a German background? I always think of.
How he met your mom. Was she worked in a hotel?
How I met my mother.
Oh, we had another story about a German immigrant who opened up a hotel and a bar in Chicago. I can't remember who that was now. I can't remember now. But somebody's grandfather did that, or father did that.
And your mother was working in the hotel, and your father came in and sold her a bill of goods, huh?
My mother was doing housekeeping to repay her passage.
From
Germany, yeah, from the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad met her. Mm-hmm. She was doing housework to repay her.
Mm-hmm. What would passage have cost, I wonder?
I had no idea.
And then they could get a contract or something and then repay the loaner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, certain people advanced payment for passage.
They probably made a little bit of
money.
Yeah,
they sure did. Mm-hmm. They sure did.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
But the real details on how they came over
to Lansing, you don't know.
They never talked about it.
Probably wasn't easy. Did they do any farming when they came here, or he mostly worked labor?
Did do some work on the farm.
Mm-hmm. First when he came?
My uncle had a farm in Northville.
Oh, in Northville, they had a farm. Okay. All right. And the work on the Rio obviously was good, since he stayed for 24 years, right? Or he felt he was making a good enough living there.
Well, in 1930, the Depression hit.
Oh, that's so right.
That let him off.
That was when he stopped working there, because right. of the Depression.
It was laid off mm-hmm. because of the Depression.
Mm-hmm. What did he do then? Go back to Fermi?
No. He just was out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Got a few odd jobs.
Those are tough times.
A family of seven.
Oh, my. A family of seven, and he had seven children to worry about.
Did your mom work at a job outside the house? No, she stayed home and took care of you kids.
She was always in the hospital.
Yeah. Which is a job, too. So. What did your dad think about working at the Rio? I mean, obviously, he wasn't real happy when they laid him off, but...
No, but... I don't know what you mean by, what did he think about working mm-hmm.
Did he think it was a good place to work?
It was a job, yeah.
Yeah.
He felt he had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there were times when he would walk all the way, you know where Bancroft Park is,
mm-hmm.
Park Street?
Mm-hmm.
We lived between Grand River and Sheridan on Park Street.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're real familiar with that area.
Not real familiar.
Gus. It was a Goss's Bakery.
Do you know this, Shirley?
I remember Goss's Bakery.
And we lived next door to that.
Oh, really? It later became Ross Gam's and I can't remember what else.
There were times when my dad would walk from there over to the Rio to work.
Yes.
And even work overtime and then walk back home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We lived in Holt. My dad did the same thing. Walked in from Holt. Did your father ever see Arioles during the early times? Did he ever mention Arioles or Dick Scott?
No, I had no idea.
Okay,
yeah.
I know. Just curious.
Because it wasn't a big plant in those early years. It was
no.
a couple hundred people, that's all.
Mm-hmm. In the early years, Arioles was there more often, mm-hmm. taking more of an active part, and I just thought I'd ask.
The plant also, the company also, when you were working there too, had almost from the beginning all sorts of programs for the workers. You know, they opened the clubhouse in 1917, and they had sports teams and benefit societies. And did you or your dad do that?
They had a radio station.
R-E-O.
And they made their own newsreels.
That's what's at the library.
They were reograms.
Reograms. That's what they have at the library.
What sort of things? Like regular newscast?
Just like
Events of the Day?
Right, and they show those at the clubhouse, right?
Yes, they show them at the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And there are still some of those available to look at in the archives at the State University.
So as a family, you all took advantage of those kinds of things that the company provided?
We went to movies at the clubhouse and so forth.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, when I started working there, they were still issuing clubhouse cards.
Uh-huh. This was in 36.
That was like a pass.
Participate in clubhouse doings.
Mm-hmm. The whole family.
Yeah.
And you could come into any of the events by using that pass card.
Yeah.
We've heard that also people who didn't, whose family didn't necessarily work at the Rio, sometimes snuck in too to see films,
especially
and
kids. I think Glenn Green was telling us about.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Because a neighbor of my sister's, where I'd always come and visit during the summer, their daughter would go, and she'd take me as a guest.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So
you could take a guest.
I think they would take a guest
Fridays after school hours. They had a matinee for the children, and they let any kids in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whether their fathers worked at Rio or not.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that must have been,
a lively time, I bet. All those kids. Times, I know that in the early years, the times were tough, even when it wasn't a depression. But your dad was able to take care of seven kids pretty well, and what he can make at the Rio. I mean, you know, you didn't have a lot of frills, but...
Had a car.
They didn't have a car.
He never owned a car.
Yeah, my grandfather didn't use
that, right?
Yeah.
Of course, at that time, there were streetcars, and later on, buses.
People didn't live out in the suburbs that much then, either,
no.
So... And there were no malls you had to drive to.
No malls.
That's when downtown was downtown.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right.
When you had quite a grocery
that's
stores
right.
that were really grocery stores.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just
7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. Mm-hmm.
Not chain stores, but locally owned mm-hmm. people stores.
Where the grocer knew you and you'd give him your list and he'd uh-huh. assemble your groceries.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Did you... Mostly your father and mother, did they rent their houses or did they eventually buy a house?
No, folks bought the house.
Mm-hmm. Out in the north end that you were talking about earlier. Hmm. We've heard that you could arrange loans to buy a home through Rio, through the budget department or finance department.
I don't remember.
Where they would help you get a loan.
They
wouldn't loan you the money, but they would help you get
on your parents were selling out.
There was still some owing on the mortgage of the house at the time my dad was laid off and mm-hmm. had any work. Mm-hmm. And the homeowners loan corporation.
Mm-hmm. One of the New
the
Deal programs?
Yeah,
yeah.
The governments had set up and then
they helped them out.
Helped them out.
Oh, so they didn't lose their home.
Yeah.
Hmm. When you went back to work in 40, your wife said something about going into the service. Were you back to work and then you went into the service during the war? Or?
Yes, I went into the Army through the draft.
You were invited.
You were drafted.
Invited, yeah.
What year did you go into the Army?
In 44.
In 44.
Oh, late. Very late.
Yeah, it was late.
And then you had to stay out of that?
Until 46.
Until 46. They sent you to Germany, did they, maybe?
Pardon?
Did you go to Germany, perhaps?
I was assigned to the medical corps, and I spent my time at Bonn General Hospital.
Oh.
Just outside of Chicago.
Oh,
that's as far as you got.
Not too bad.
That's all right.
That's fine. You can come home at least
yeah,
once
really.
A month.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Great. We have a volunteer here who went in about the time you did from the Rio and was sent to Germany, and he was there with the occupation troops, and he was telling us, you know, that just there was nothing left, just rubble, and it was so hard for him to cope with seeing hungry children. And.
Mm-hmm.
And there just wasn't any food, and the Army fed them as much as they could. So I think it's nice you got to stay here.
Safer.
Then you came back in 46 and your job was waiting for you?
Yes, I went back to work
at the
Rio in product design graduate.
Mm-hmm. After you'd had the additional training from MSU that helped out, right? Yeah. And how long did you stay there after 46? Till?
Until Mr. Kappert ran it
into
the
ground.
Oh, boy,
till 74, 75.
Oh, you were there right to
the
end.
All the way to the
end.
Right to the end.
My goodness. Did you stay at the same type of position?
I stayed in the engineering.
Engineering? Okay. Wow. So except for a couple of years off, laid off, and a couple of years in the Army, you've been there since
right.
the mid-30s, basically.
Did you have an indication that the place was going to go bankrupt? Did you all sort of feel like it was going...
The day after it was announced that Mr. Kappert was buying the place from White Motor Company, the vendor's representatives coming in and talking to us said, we'll give you about 1 year.
Mm.
Because they knew what his track record was.
Oh.
For all these other companies he had gobbled up around the country.
And they were afraid.
They were mobile home companies that he had purchased, and about a year after he'd get a hold of them, they'd be bankrupt.
Mm. What a new deal. I've heard a little bit about his secretary or his henchman, Mildred Johnson.
Mildred Johnson? I never became acquainted with her.
That's probably good for you.
What I heard, yes.
What I heard, yeah.
She did the firing. I've seen some copies of letters too that were where the workers were promised that things would stay the same and everyone would keep their jobs and production would go up, and apparently all the while that was just rhetoric. Apparently he never really meant that. We've been told how they let people out in supervisory capacity so that no one would then, new people who were coming in, wouldn't have any idea what was going on.
Now, you stayed.
I understand a lot of the firing there was done due to gossip, too.
Due to gossip?
Gossip to Mrs. Johnson.
She
absorbed the gossip and bingo.
Oh, whoever was bad-mouthing her got it.
Or bad-mouthing Cabaret, maybe.
Just gossip about certain people would impress her.
If someone makes a judgment about who was good and
based
on
what
gossip.
She heard. If she heard that Mr. Jones was not doing a good job or was doing this or that, she'd fire him without investigating.
What the details were of the gossip, I have no idea.
Somebody told us, and I don't know if it was Louis Garcia, someone told us that she promised Mr. Cappert that she would cut his expenses by thousands of dollars by the end of the first year that they were there, and apparently that's one of the ways she did it, by cutting out a lot of the people who were making the higher wages.
Could be.
Since I'm a historian, over at State, I'm very interested in what the changes were at Rio from the times that around the time that you started there.
Mm-hmm. From the time I started?
Yeah.
I can say this. I started working for the Rio Motor Car Company, which was the original name.
Right.
And I worked for every company name.
The Diamond Rio and Diamond
Rio Motors Incorporated.
And White.
Oh, the Rio Motors Incorporated was
what it was when I went in.
Yeah. Rio Motors Incorporated.
And one time various other outfits owned the Rio.
Right.
Bone Aluminum Company was in there.
Right. And then White Motors.
White Motors got it.
Right.
The name was changed a number of times while White Motors had it.
So it went through a lot of changes in terms of ownership.
It was called the Rio Division, and then it was called the Lansing Division after they moved Diamond T up here.
Mm-hmm. From Ohio. Wasn't it Ohio?
Chicago.
Okay.
And that was
from the way that you're talking about it, you don't sound like you were real happy about all those changes. It would have been better if it just stayed the Rio Motor Car Company.
The move of Diamond T, was there was no planning connected with it. They just backed a bunch of trucks up to the docks in Chicago and loaded the material on them, brought it up and dumped it on our docks, and said, "You're going to build these trucks on your line."
Oh. Did that mean a lot of adapting machinery to do that?
The parts lists, which are very important in assembling the cars, of course, were going through a change. The Diamond T, they were at the midpoint, using some old parts lists and some new parts lists.
That was a little confusing.
A headache.
Was that because the parts that you needed to put on these things that were dumped on your dock, the parts you had, wouldn't fit on these things?
We had to know which parts went on what truck.
I see. Okay. That must have been kind of a nightmare time for everybody.
It was a nightmare.
So that was one of the big changes you saw.
Right.
Yeah. And like I said, you don't sound real happy about it. It wasn't a good thing.
I can't say that I was happy.
Okay. And part of it was because it wasn't handled very well, but also it wasn't a local control thing anymore.
No,
it was from outside.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of supervisor changes when they came in?
Oh, yes.
A lot of the people you were used to working with were the ones there?
Well, a lot of the Diamond T supervisors got the jobs from the real people.
Oh.
They
were replaced. The real people. That must have been hard, too.
It must have made it difficult for the rest of you. Your loyalties would have been with the people you were working with before.
That was a hard time.
How about the plant itself and the kind of people that worked there? Did you see any big changes in that respect, too? Because in 1936, it was still a lot of old kinds of machinery.
In 36, the trucks were built on the corner of Mount Hope and Washington Avenue.
Uh-huh.
That was a truck plant.
Right.
And of course, through years after they put the passenger cars, they brought it over to the main plant.
Uh-huh, because that became the main thing that they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They still used quite a few of the buildings over at the truck plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that where the motor?
No, the motor plant was right along Cedar Street.
Baker and Cedar.
Okay. Long plant. That was the motor plant.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the 30s, of course, things were slowed down because of the Depression.
Right.
So there weren't very many workers there. But in the 40s, things really picked up a lot because of the war.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because of the war.
So the plants got real busy and employed a lot more workers in there.
Right.
Were they the same kind of workers that were employed before, kind of people?
Yeah,
they pulled a lot of them back in.
A lot of new ones.
Uh-huh.
A lot of new people came in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were building military trucks.
Right.
And also, one of the other things was Navy bomb fuses.
Yeah, somebody just told me about that yesterday.
Yeah,
at
I
the Navy
to ask him about
division.
That the Navy division, was that over, was that Washington and
Baker? It was on
Baker?
Washington. Just south of the engineering building.
Mm-hmm. And they were employed in making bomb fuses for the Navy. Did they make something else too in that department for the Navy?
No, that's
that was the primary thing.
They made various components for other vehicles too.
Oh, they did.
Out in the plant.
Somebody told me who worked in there.
Some tank parts.
Tank parts.
And, engineering. We were also working on a, maybe I shouldn't even mention this, but it was a personnel carrier. I don't know what it was called now.
Was it classified?
Was
is that
the
what
Beaver?
You're worried about? It was classified stuff?
Yeah.
Was that the Beaver?
No,
that wasn't the Beaver.
The Beaver was a 2.5-ton truck that was developed during the Korean War.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Well, the other one you were just speaking about, that was developed during the Second World War, and it was a different type of personnel carrier? Was it kind of a secret thing?
The one I'm thinking of never really got into production at the Rio.
Oh.
But some of the sales reps told us that a similar vehicle was being built down in Detroit.
I see. Hmm.
Oh, at the Ford plant, maybe.
I don't know what plant it was.
Now, after the war was over, did the plant still stay as bigger, you know, as lively with as many people, or was there some demobilization because of the switch to peacetime?
I really couldn't say how many.
How many
were
there were?
Okay.
We know that we
switched back to peacetime
production. Yeah, although there were still government contracts for Korea and Vietnam, we've heard, too.
Well, Korea and Vietnam, Korea came along in 1950.
Right, pretty quickly, yeah.
So that was...
And did the Rio had military contracts for probably trucks? And,
yes, they built a lot of these Eager Beavers for the government for various uses.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to try to get
competitive bidding too.
I'm going to try to get Eileen into this a little bit too.
Yes.
All right, she's just sitting and nodding her head, and I feel so bad. But I think a good way to do that is you mentioned earlier that it was kind of a family place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Rio was a family-oriented place. did you just mean the clubhouse, or were there other things too?
No, the people, the workers, there were so many generations, you know, and
because
families.
Because like his father,
worked,
yeah.
You know, and his, well, I guess Ernie worked there too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Your brother.
Yeah.
And,
two older brothers worked there.
Oh, two older, your two older brothers too?
Is that where Ernie met Peg too?
Yeah.
He met his wife there. That's how we met.
I was just going to ask how you two met at Rio.
Yeah.
Did you, what kind of a job were you doing?
Well, I was secretary to Mr. Frank McKim. He was the secretary of Rio.
Oh, and
and
you
I
were
was just there in January 1940. And he would call in and find, I'd have to look up at Dun & Bradstreet, a certain company, and see what their status was and so forth. And the first day, then he came in, and it's the first time I met him. And because I had been talking to him, I worked at a trucking company before, and I'd been talking to him on the phone and didn't know it because he'd call and said, send a bottom over.
What trucking company did you work for?
Well, Michigan, Indiana, Norwalk.
And they produced trucks, did they? Or
no,
they shipped things in their trucks.
He was shipping the machinery.
Oh, I saw.
And that's how why he called you there.
Yeah, but I didn't know that until several months later. But I worked for Frank then for until I quit, which wasn't long, but it was in August of 43.
Oh, so you're just there for a few years?
Yeah. I stayed until I was pregnant for our first child. Until I couldn't get the typewriter anymore. He kept saying, wait, just another month. No, just another month. And I was ripped in the front office, and I didn't think it looked very good.
But they obviously didn't mind it,
no,
which is pretty enlightened for those days.
Because he kept saying, if you need to go upstairs to the lounge, just go up anytime you want. He was a wonderful person to work
for. Mr. McKim was.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Frank was wonderful.
I know, because my mother was working as a secretary around that time, too. And she was, this was in the 50s, I guess. When she got pregnant with me, she tried to hide it for such a long time. She was afraid she'd get fired.
Well, no, they didn't. I don't know. Were there any others at about the same time? I don't think so. There were. If they were, you know, you didn't know. But
well,
you didn't work usually.
Got married at the same time.
Yeah. But there were about
children.
Six couple of us got married at about the same time. One Saturday we had weddings.
Didn't someone tell us that one Saturday there were like six weddings
in a row?
Saturday. Yeah.
And did you get married there at the clubhouse?
No,
did you have a reception?
No, we didn't have. We had it right at the church.
At the church,
Bethlehem Lutheran.
Oh, okay. Now, are you from the Lansing area?
No,
no, you're not.
I went to Eastern and graduated from high school, but I came from over near Saginaw.
Okay.
Saginaw County.
Okay, but you went to Eastern High School.
What year did you graduate? 39?
January 39.
It's when we used to have January, June graduations.
Yeah.
And you did your secretarial course at the high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or did you go to business, getting
no,
a business
no,
college?
No.
You got everything you needed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were your family from farming backgrounds?
Yes.
Or they were?
Yeah, my folks lived
yeah.
out
there. Did they come to Lansing for other types of work?
No, my sister was living here.
Oh, so you went here to go to the high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just came to Lansing and still stayed on the farm.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you were a single career woman in Lansing,
yeah.
right? For a year. Until you met him.
Well, for two years. We were married in 42.
Oh, okay.
How did you happen to go to the Rio from the trucking company?
Well, my hours at the trucking company, they were having me come in the morning and then go home and come back when to send the trucks out at night. And it was over on Pennsylvania Avenue, and I had an apartment over on the corner of that time, St. Joe and Grand.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a long at night to go home. So while I had the time during the daytime, I decided I'd go to the employment office. So I went there, and when I went in, they gave a man alone, they had me talk to. He says, well, as soon as I find something, I'll hear of something, I'll call you. Well, he called me the next day, and he said that the secretary of the Rio needed a secretary, and he would like to have an interview. So I called him, and he said he had just hired somebody. This was on a Wednesday, I guess. And I felt real bad because I wanted to get out of the trucking company. And so I thought, well, I'll go back again. So the next week, well, that Saturday morning, Mr. McKim called and he said that the girl he had hired had to leave and take care of her mother. And could I come to his house and he would interview me? Hmm. And he wanted to know if I knew where Grand was, and I said yes. And he says, well, I live between Grand and, or between St. Joe and Hillsdale.
Oh, my goodness.
And I live on the corner. So went down and met his wife, Alice. And so he said, can you start to work Monday? So I went to work Monday.
Oh, wasn't that wonderful?
So I said, I guess it was what it was supposed to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
What kind of a salary? Were you salaried?
Oh, yes, I was salaried.
And did you, what kind of money did you make in 1940?
I think I made $120 a month.
That's not bad.
And I had
no money. Not for those days.
No.
No.
Oh.
And I made a
I think
had
I was making about
$135.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was much more than what I was making at the trucking company.
Uh-huh.
So, in regular hours.
Yeah.
Well, you must have seen a lot of interesting things being the secretary of the secretary of the company. A lot of
It was.
You probably were in on a lot of things that were going on.
No,
around.
Not too much.
Oh, no.
No, usually the president's secretary was usually in on the meetings and stuff more than I was.
I guess I was thinking of the correspondence that you would be responsible for and a lot of information.
When I first started, he was assistant secretary and treasurer, was he, or just assistant secretary? Right.
I think he was treasurer for a while.
Yeah,
so
an assistant, and then he...
Because he was involved with those, some of those, with the stock.
Yeah, because he had the
stock.
Because Lorena worked in the office, and she, same office, and she took care of the stock. And I didn't have anything to do with that except sending the letters that he would want sent. But, and then I also did the orders and so forth for export for Tony Rose. That was there. And, then I'd have to go out in the plant, and the first time I went out there, it was so scary going through that dark plant. And you didn't know where you were stepping because those wooden bricks were, some would be out, and so you
the
had
floor?
To be so careful.
Yeah, we've heard that floor was a little old and fire trapped.
And it was probably so noisy.
Well, not the part that where I went through was empty and nobody was there. And then I had those winding stairways to
pop up.
I had to go over to Marshall Graham's office.
And who, Marshall Graham, what did he do?
What was Marshall's title? Marshall Graham.
He was a traffic
manager. Yeah, and I had to take orders and so forth over there.
So you'd have to walk through that long, dark, spooky building and up those spiral stairs.
Well, I first went there, though I didn't have to because they had the things that you put in, what do you call them?
Pneumatic tubes.
Oh, the tubes.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, to send your messages that way.
Yes, that, but well, then when they did away with that. Mm. But then when I first went there, we were on Washington Avenue, and then they changed the offices over on Baker Street.
Oh, you saw your office, was
and
that
so
on Baker?
Then, before I left, they changed it back on Washington again, so we never knew where we were going to be.
Is that right? Was there, did you have a large staff that worked with you? I mean, were there other secretaries that you were...
No, I was just...
You didn't have someone working under you?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Somebody else we interviewed who was a secretary now. Who was that?
Yeah, I was just trying to think of that.
Oh, it was Doris Dow.
Oh, Doris.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
She said they didn't have...
She worked in engineering.
Right. She said they didn't have typing pools, that individual secretaries worked for the bosses.
No, no, no.
And that's the way it was at the Rio. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a big...
No, no.
Pool or anything like they have nowadays in companies.
No, that was just his.
Right.
And,
did either one of you come in contact with Hilda Smith, who worked in personnel?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about Hilda?
Oh, she was just the sweetest person I think that I've ever met.
Is that right?
Up until about the last year, we got birthday cards every year from her.
Mm-hmm.
She sent birthday cards to everybody that worked at the Rio that she knew.
Up until the last year before the place closed, you mean?
No, just about a year ago.
Oh, a year ago, she was still sending you cards? Well, we had the privilege of going out and seeing
her
at Tender. She's at Tender.
Is her mind still as well?
Yes, I thought
it
was.
It is. She doesn't say as much as you know what's going on in there, but you can tell she understands.
You can see her struggling, Jerry, and she'll come up with it.
I know the last time she was at one of the Rio, I think it was over to the Coral Gables.
Oh, in the summer.
Seen her and she was in a wheelchair, and I went over and I says, Hilda, she's Hawaiian. I mean, that's just, her memory, I thought, was for her age.
For all those years and all the people that she knew, that's amazing.
It's great.
in her room at Tender Care West, there's a big bulletin board right where she can see it from her bed. It's just loaded with cards and things. She never had any children, did she?
I don't think she ever did she?
No.
And we were just talking about this yesterday, that she comes from a large family and helped her mother with all the other children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She worked in personnel, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she interviewed people who were coming in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just about everybody ran into her at some point along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1943, when you had your baby, that was it?
Yeah.
And then you stayed home?
I said I'd never work it for anybody else because nobody would be like Frank because he was just such a wonderful person.
Oh.
Yeah. And his wife was too. She was very sweet. She was the nurse at the, until he was made secretary, and she quit because she didn't care. Because I guess he had charge of hiring him, and she didn't feel she should be working for her husband, so she quit.
Uh huh.
And I think that's when the artist went in, isn't it? Did artist win right after Alice?
Yeah.
Oh, Alice McKim was the head of the first aid then before Artie Pappin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we haven't heard that before.
What were your offices like? Did you have the latest equipment, latest typewriters? And
no, not really. They weren't in, you know.
Just
ordinary. It was just, at first, Frank and Maureen and I were all in one big room when I first went there to work, in one big office.
Uh-huh.
And then when we went over on Baker Street, just Frank and I were in the room. And my desk was right next to his.
Oh, was that right?
And then when we went back again, then I had a separate office, and Lorena had an office for the stocks, and then Frank had an office. So.
Mm-hmm.
Elite then, but by the time we got married, it's
what we had. You said before we got started officially with the tapes that your kids used to go to the clubhouse too.
Yeah, when they were young. They had Christmas parties and the families were invited, and I said Christmas gifts for the kids, and up until, what were they, when they were in teens, and they gave them money instead of a toy or a gift or something. And I know 1 year our youngest son was tickled pink. He'd been teasing for a camera.
Oh.
And they gave him a camera, and he was so pleased.
How did they find out?
I don't know. It's just the gifts that they could give
him. Wow.
And they'd have a wonderful meal and everything, you know, and then Santa Claus and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was really,
this is for the children of all the employees.
All the employees.
No matter where they were in the
plant.
Right.
Yeah. And then they had the ladies' night for the men's club that they had.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they
were
under steering gear. Oh, you were in the steering gear, too?
And I know 1 year they had Bud Guest, and he was such a wonderful speaker. And I guess what made me think of it is we were in Florida. The lady had plaques she had made, and she had poems of Bud Guest that she had done.
Now, I don't know who Bud Guest is.
He was a
poet.
Detroit.
Yes, he was on WJR in Detroit, and there are a lot of his books in the library.
Yeah.
He was a humorous poet.
Bud
uh-huh.
Guest was Edgar Guest's son.
Edgar Guest is the one that came, and I know he gave us all a book of poems.
Huh.
And autograph book that night, but they had wonderful dinner parties and speakers and everything. That was
events like those.
And you got acquainted. I mean, it was like, you know, the fellowship of everybody that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just.
Did a lot of your friends come from those groups of people too?
Well, yes, we had some close friends
from the Rio.
Yeah.
People you worked with or met through those functions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'd like to ask both of you this question. What were some of the major problems that you recall, and do you recall how they were solved? Some maybe major problem with production, or maybe, do you remember any particular thing? I suppose some of the problems would just be the changeovers from as you were taken over by new companies all the time.
Yes, that was a problem. Well, it didn't affect us too much until until they moved Diamond T in. That was the biggest problem right there.
Because there'd been no communication ahead of time, and you were just suddenly taken over.
No advance planning.
when there was going to be these big changes, they never called you together in the auditorium at the clubhouse, say, and introduced the new people, and this is what we're going to be doing.
It just all of a sudden happened.
I never knew what he was going to say when he came home at night, what was going to be.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was really.
Because I saw Mr. Rankin and Doris Dow have given us different memorabilia to look at, and I don't recall which one of them, I think maybe it was Doris's, but there were pictures of meetings with some of the new people as you were taken over each time. But that was must be, it was just for upper level management. They were the only ones that knew about it and got to meet the new people. And
Right.
And then all of a sudden here they were, and you all were kind of in shock for a while till things settled down again. So I was going to ask how were plant communications handled. Doesn't sound like plant communications were handled too well. I suppose a letter would come down from the top, and maybe sometime you'd see it somewhere in some meeting. Or
there were letters passed around every once in a while. Major announcements.
Like memos from the head office.
What do you remember, too, about the working conditions? I'm thinking about safety and
very interesting
equipment that you worked with. How safe was it? Do you remember any real problems with that?
Or did you hear about accidents or things? You know, you weren't involved in that kind of stuff.
I did happen to be one thing that shocked me. I did happen to be out on the repair floor. And one of the workers working on the truck that was trying to solve something, I had a heart attack.
That
was a shock to me.
You would be called out sometimes on the floor if there was a problem with the vehicle?
Occasionally I'd have to go out on the floor to find out why they couldn't get the truck put together.
Check it against the plans, the prints, to see what was going on?
Against
parts drawings, yes. And I suppose a lot of the parts that the factory used, were some of those bought from local Lansing area factories, do you think, or shops?
Some of the raw material was like the forgings. The forgings were bought from different forging plants here in town.
Atlas or
machine at Rio.
Oh, I see.
They were at Rio itself. But some things were imported in from other states, or somebody else said not other countries.
No,
mostly it was USA stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well,
those were the good old days.
Yeah. Right. Everything was made right here. I have a couple of more things still to ask. Sometimes when you say things, it reminds of some other things that we're interested in. First thing is about the technical and clerical office staff union. Now, I can't remember who we talked to who was also a member of it. May have been Doris, I can't remember.
I think it might have been. She's the only other woman we've talked to.
She couldn't remember if there was any problems when contracts had to be renewed or negotiations about terms of employment.
Strikes or something.
Yeah, now she said there were no strikes.
There were no strikes.
Right. So what I'm asking is if there was any times when contracts would expire and there was difficulties between the company and the union about what the terms of employment would be, because obviously you resolved them before there was a strike.
They apparently were negotiated.
Okay, but everything always went very smoothly.
It seemed to.
Okay. Right. That's also very unusual.
I can't remember when I did go into the union, because I was in the engineering.
It was after you came back from the war.
Oh, sure. Long time.
46 or 47
or
something?
No.
After that, even.
Even after that?
Much later than that.
Ah.
Yes.
In the
60s.
Oh, 60s already. Oh. Did you ever go to a meeting about the union? Or you just were a member? And were there any meetings?
We used to have meetings.
Yeah. You went to some of those?
Yeah.
It was mostly a lot of women, right? in those meetings? Or were there quite a few? Who was the leadership in that union?
There were several, but I can't remember their names.
Okay. All right, I could probably look it up.
Did Sarno have something to do with that?
Leo Sarno.
Yeah, I don't know what they talking about.
I just find it so interesting that the UAW organized the office staff too. It's very interesting to me.
There's one thing in my case.
Yeah.
I got a substantial raise in the union, didn't I?
So it was good for you. And what about benefits and so forth, like health care and pension funds and things like that?
Those were already in effect.
They were, through the company?
Yes.
Okay. Did they transfer over to the union when the union came?
When I was an early employee, the Rio was one of the first plants in the state that got into the Blue Cross.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was. When was the first?
Is that in the 50s?
Earlier than that.
Even earlier?
By the time I started, maybe way back in the 30s.
Oh, my. Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
We contributed a certain amount to premium.
Right.
Out of your
for the health care.
For the health care.
Great.
And then they matched it or something.
And then the company kicked in.
Even during the hard times, they kept up.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. Now, when the union came in for your office positions, did the company take over that, or did it stay with that, or the union?
The company had taken it over long before that.
I misspoke. Did the union take over those functions, like with the health plan and the pensions and stuff, or did the company still keep it?
The company kept it.
Kept it still. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the union mostly helped you with your wages.
Right.
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 Okay. That's very interesting, too.
I just wanted to ask a quick thing right while I'm thinking of it. I remember being taken to the first aid. My dad worked at Rio, and I remember being taken to the first aid once when I had sustained an injury out ice skating. Was there any charge to the family? Say, if you're one of your children became ill and you took it or cut themselves or whatever, and if you go to first aid, was that covered under your benefits?
I didn't know. Occasion to take our children to the Rio.
Because I know usually that's just for the workers in the plant, but he came and we didn't have a car, so he got a cab and took me down and they took care of my injury and sent me home.
Hmm.
And I didn't think much about it. Well, I'm sure I did. But I'm thinking back now with the benefits, if, you know, instead of going to the emergency room at the hospital, I'm thinking that people do now with their Blue Cross card. I'm just wondering if maybe I'm going to have to ask Artis Papa.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her.
Yeah. You never had to use the first aid clinic.
I never had to go for
it. Seems like I remember it was on Baker Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other questions I had was about how many children you had.
You
had three. And did you live at the address that we have now, Lorraine, when...
No, we rented an apartment when we got married from one of the fellows that worked, what was it, AJ's, Art Hempstead's, he was in the cost department.
Who was it?
Art Hempstead.
Art Hempstead.
Uh-huh. And he had an apartment for rent, and we rented it from him.
Mm-hmm. Was that near the factory, so you could
No, and we went to work every week. He'd drive one day and Art would drive the next, and Art drove a Rio.
Isn't that nice? Wonder what year that was.
Well, must have been about the last one.
35, 36 or something.
42, so.
Yeah, one of the rounded 36. Style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a great
one. And then I went up to the farm, stayed with my folks when he went into service, because he was only 6 weeks old when he went.
Oh, I wondered about that.
And then I stayed until Labor Day, and again, he could come home weekends. He couldn't get the trains up there, so...
So you meet here.
I moved back to Lansing and rented a house until he came home from service. Mm-hmm.
And then you could buy... Then did you buy a house?
Well, we went... What was it? Mm-hmm. About a year later, 2 years later, we bought our house.
Forty-seven.
The Lorraine Street house.
That's the one.
So you've been there ever since.
Yeah, been there ever since.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned before that your kids didn't go to the Rio to work. They would have been too young, right?
Yeah. Our oldest son is a teacher in Colorado.
Do you have a daughter?
Yes.
Helen?
No.
No.
I have a daughter. She lives in Detroit. She's supervisor of AAA Travel.
Oh.
In Detroit. And our youngest son is a director of Christian of Youth and
Christian
Education in Iowa.
Rapids, Iowa.
And our oldest son is a Lutheran teacher in Brighton, Colorado.
Golly, your family's kind of...
Went into education, it sounds like. A lot into education.
It's interesting that they didn't want to go back into, say, working for Oldsmobile or something.
No, they just wanted to be doing church work.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughters, well, she sort of fell into the AAA job with our neighbor, was a work there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he got her a job in travel in Lansing office, and she was transferred to Detroit. So she's been down there now about 12 years.
Great.
When the plant closed in
75,
we were talking to Doris Dow, and she said they had no idea. They went to work that morning, and the place was padlocked, and she said it was such a shock. How did that happen for you? I mean, how did you find out?
We were out on sick leave.
Yeah, I happened to be on sick leave.
Oh, my.
He had a shoulder operation, and he was up.
So you don't show up for a few days and look what happened?
Yeah. And you didn't go in and out, you know, like they do what...
Did you hear it over the radio and you heard they closed, or you heard it saw it in the paper, or how did you know?
I heard them out.
You heard
someone called you and said, guess what? Huh? Were you real surprised?
Not really, no. Just thing was brewing from the end of 74.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, they told us to turn in our vacation time that we had come in, and I was sad enough not to. So those 7 days of vacation pay
that you didn't get?
That I never got.
I was just going to say, and the pension probably wasn't what it should have been.
The pension was just about half.
That's better than a lot of other people we've talked to in some cases.
I know, I talked to Carl last night. I think he said he was getting $80 a month after 33 years.
Well, what did Mrs. Elsball tell us yesterday? $50 a month is what they drew?
Yeah, something.
We talked to Melvin Elsball's widow yesterday. She said that they got $50 a month.
Yes.
And he'd been there for about 30, 40
years.
Yes, 36
years.
36 years, that's right.
And there's no increase for inflation. Right?
No, it's the same for every year. It's amazing.
And someone else told us that there were people who were so despondent over that they committed suicide, and others that went into deep mental breakdowns.
Depressions.
Mm-hmm. Those that had spent as many years, say, as you did, and to suddenly have it all gone.
I said we were fortunate, though. We had a house paid for, and that was the last year for Gary in college.
So
we really were.
It had to come. At least it came in a better time for you.
So we graduated in 75.
Oh,
no. Big shock. I can't get over it even now, and I drive by there, and it's gone.
Oh, I know it. When our son came home from Colorado when he had his heart attack, he says, Mom, before I go home, I want to drive by where the Rio used to be. And I said, you really want to go by? He says, oh, I can't believe
it. It hurt.
Not very many people feel that strongly.
Yeah.
You know, they feel such a close feeling about it. As the people that we've talked to about the Rio, almost every person, no matter whether they worked in the factory or they were supervisors or secretaries, no matter what it is. And one of the things I'm very interested in is why. And what it was so special about the Rio that made people feel supported. And even children of people, like your children who get sad. You know, what it is about it that made it a different kind of a place.
The closeness.
Of the people.
Of the people, the workers.
Mm-hmm.
Various times there was something that went on there. There seemed to be a migration of workers from the Rio, like over to Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
And it would be going
waves.
Yeah.
Well, at one time, there's some of those engineers went over to Detroit, went to Chrysler, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Two or three, and they wanted to try to talk to
where they were
going.
What, for better money or
more money.
For more money?
More money.
Before the union came in.
Oh, I see.
What did you do after the plant closed? Did you then retire, or did you go on into something else?
Well, I retired from the reel.
Whether you wanted to or not.
Yes, exactly.
They asked you to,
at the age of 60.
Yeah.
What? You were 60.
No, I wasn't. I was 58.
Oh, wait, you got your job at the reel at 60.
And I was out of work for about a year. And I went to work over at Motor Wheel in the drafting room. Product design there. In July of 76. And stayed there for 7 years.
Good. I'm glad you were able to.
Yeah, that's very impressive. It's such, you know, yes. Harder when you get older to get
that
it.
That speaks a lot for his abilities.
Doing the same thing as he did at the Rio.
And there were still people left if you needed recommendations, people you worked for. Some of your bosses. I was thinking would still be there if you needed a recommendation. And not at the factory, but I mean, they're still in Lansing.
I don't know whether they ever checked any recommendations or I filled out the application, told them that I did it.
Well, there were plenty of people they could call, probably, around.
The boss in the drafting room, Motor Wheel, happened to be a old high school buddy.
Well, that helps, so, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Those hurt.
Might have helped. So.
Well, we have a joke. His cousin's husband was working when he retired, so he went to
took his job. Still keeping it in the family, huh? Do you think that the fact that it started out as sort of a Lansing-owned company, you know, from the start, and that the owner was in the community for a while, and a lot of the people lived in the community, made it more comfortable to work there, that people were known to each other and got together at different clubs, like the Steering Gear Club, and there was also a club for the women. Yeah, did you do that too?
No, I wasn't. They didn't have it when I was there.
Oh, it was later.
Yeah. The women's, or the girls.
Girls
club.
Girls. That's
but right. I did join when they started the getting together once a year. I started going to that.
Yeah.
When we go to the Elks in October, we go. So
it just seemed like there was a lot of social, you know, ways for the company to get together socially, and that may have made a difference. I'm not studying Olsoville, but so I don't know. But I don't know if they did things like that over there.
I think they were bigger.
That made a difference.
There's
some
bigness. That's a big difference.
Yeah. But I wonder, even within the departments, if there's the loyalty and the togetherness, and you know, that there was at the Rio.
I don't know, my daughter's always talked about when she worked here in Lansing at AAA, she says there was always that backbiting in the office, where she said where she is now it isn't.
Hmm.
But I can't remember any of that at Rio. We girls all got, to, I mean, we all seemed to get along as far as that goes. I don't think there was any problems between them.
Yeah, we have never heard it. In fact, people said, even if two men, for example, would, you know, a foreman and a worker would have a difficulty. The minute they walked out that plant door, they were real workers.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what the circumstances were, they would stick together. Which to me is just amazing.
I think so too. Someone else told us that there was a real pride. You felt you worked at Rio, and that kind of made you feel part of the community, and you felt good about it, you know. And someone said, "Where do you work?" "I work at Rio." And then, "Oh, I work over at the Rio," you know, kind of
thing.
Well,
they used to say, too, that it may not pay much, but you had a steady job.
It was security.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting.
That's one of the reasons why I stayed there.
Is that right?
Because Rio would be operating while the other plants in the city were down.
Mm-hmm. You mean in the short term, like they would have downturns, so they'd shut the plant down for a while.
The other places.
But Rio tried to stay open.
Rio kept going.
If maybe you only had 4 hours of work a day for a while, you were still working.
I was never on short hours.
You weren't even on short hours.
Huh.
So they just kept people going. Yeah, that makes a big difference, too. Okay, Mia, we don't want to keep you too long.
Yeah, we got an appointment at 11:30.
Oh,
okay.
No, that's all right.